Welcome to the Laurentian Bank fourth quarter 2015 conference call. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Susan Cohen. Please go ahead, Ms. Cohen.
Thank you and good afternoon. Our press release was issued today on Canada Newswire and is posted on our website. Our 2015 financial statements, MD&A, annual report can also be found on our website, along with the presentation of our results for the year and for the fourth quarter. François Desjardins and François Lorrain will refer to this presentation during this conference call. Other senior management team members are joining us today to answer questions following our prepared remarks. Please note that today our executive team members will limit their comments to published numbers, given that we have just announced a public share issue. Furthermore, during this conference call, forward-looking statements may be made, and it is possible that actual results may differ materially from those projected in such statements. For the complete cautionary note regarding forward-looking statements, please refer to our press release or to slide 2 of the presentation. I am now pleased to turn the call over to François Desjardins.
Thank you, Susan, and good afternoon, everyone. First, let me thank you for your presence, your questions, and the interest in what we do. Over the course of time, I want you to know that the executive team and I will do our very best to keep you informed and connected to our growth story. Today, I'm happy to report that my mandate starts with a company that has a solid balance sheet and strong core earnings, which can be seen from the results that were reported today. On slide 4, you can see that if we compare 2015 to 2014, the adjusted net income increased by 5% and the EPS increased by 6%. If we compare this fourth quarter over the same quarter last year, both were up by 4%. Our core earnings were positively impacted by the strong momentum that we have in key sectors. We have seen growth in business loans of 18%, in B2B bank mortgages of 34%, and in income from the sales of mutual funds of 33%. Furthermore, our credit quality remained, as evidenced by our industry-low loan loss ratio. You can also see that we have taken a special impairment and restructuring charge of $61.8 million after tax in the quarter. This one-time charge was the result of a comprehensive strategic review of our retail activities that was completed in the fourth quarter, which determined that the value of certain assets was impaired in light of our transformation plan. François Lorrain will soon provide more details on our financial performance, but first, I want to share some thoughts about the context in which we are operating, our transformation plan, and how we will measure our performance. For the last decade, the team's efforts have not only enabled us to weather the financial crisis, but have produced true growth and wealth for our shareholders. We should be proud of what has accomplished so far. However, as it stands and despite our efforts to date, we have not yet delivered on one measure, a return on equity comparable to the banking industry. Consequently, our price-to-book ratio stands at just over 1. Many, with good reason, consider this to be a great investment given the attractive dividend yield. And moreover, we believe that our shareholders expect this growth story to culminate in great performance. Consequently, we have been looking at ways to modify our business plan to achieve just that. Increasing performance in itself is key, and even more so looking forward. The challenge for all financial institutions is to develop a winning formula in an environment where technology and demographics are changing customer expectations and where the economic context and regulatory framework are constantly evolving. Last year, we began a comprehensive strategic review. The executive team has concluded that in order for our company to progress, a true transformation is required. We are convinced that it is the right thing to do, and this is the right time to do it. Spearheading our transformation is a strong and lean executive team, with each of the 6 members presented on slide 6 focusing on areas that are key to our success. On slide 7, the first step to this success is to renew our mission statement and corporate values to better reflect our willingness to truly be there for our customers. A simple phrase, "We help customers improve their financial health," touches everyone in our group, no matter what role they play or business they are in. Furthermore, our decisions going forward will be guided by the values of simplicity, proximity, and honesty. Our transformation plan, which will be implemented over the next 7 years, will be structured in 2 manageable phases, the first to end in 4 years. Key initiatives have been identified, many of which are highlighted on slides 9 and 10. As we progressively implement them, we will transform our company to improve profitability and move towards a simpler, more efficient, and modern organization with a solid foundation for sustainable growth. In particular, phase 1 will include the overhaul of the account management platform, including the replacement of the core banking engine. Once done, this will enable rapid development of online and mobile services, as well as a more robust credit framework, and will allow us to adopt the IRB approach to credit risk. It will also enable us to complete the product line we offer to independent advisors. We have also decided to reset the value proposition of our distribution networks and prioritize advice and ease of doing business. This will mean the modernization of our retail distribution network, the revamp of our branch offerings, and the review of the functions of our branch personnel. All this to ensure a focus on effectiveness and client centricity. This will also mean the expansion of our business services group, more account managers, and more of them across Canada. Finally, we will move towards a simpler and less expensive way of operating. To achieve this, we will simplify the retail product offering and make products and services easy to understand and value-oriented, retool and retain and retrain team members in order to improve customer experience, and harmonize our branding to position financial health at the forefront. Overall, our team members' efforts should be more on customer-facing and thus revenue-generating activity and less on administrative tasks. Our corporate costs must decrease while increasing our efforts relating to risk management, compliance, and overall good governance. We expect our growth engines to continue throughout our transformation. Our 4-year growth targets are presented on slide 11. Specifically, by 2019, we expect to reach $13 billion in our portfolio of loans to business customers, up by more than 60% from the end of 2015, $9 billion of mortgage loans originated through B2B bank independent brokers and advisors, up by more than 50%, $6 billion of mutual funds owned by retail customers, up by more than 80%, and $4 billion of assets under management at Laurentian Bank Securities, up by more than 25%. The geographic diversification that we have seen in recent years can be found on slide 12. This diversification will continue throughout the plan, both from organic growth and strategic acquisitions. All things being equal, and given our current assumptions, we believe that this plan will improve profitability as measured by an expected ROE of 14% in 4 years in a pre-IRB world, and an ROE which would be comparable to the Canadian banking industry within 7 years once IRB is implemented. This is an ambitious plan, but we have done our homework. Our size makes us agile, our focus is sharp, and our team, of which I am very proud to be part of, is talented and dedicated. We are marching confidently towards a renewed organization by combining the wholesome ways of the past with service delivery of the future. This morning, we announced a $65 million common share issue, which will support the growth that we expect as a consequence of the transformation plan. Shares will be issued at a price of $52 per share for net proceeds of approximately $62 million. Also this morning, given our strong core earnings and the support that the Board of Directors has in our transformation plan, the Board approved an increase in the quarterly dividend of 2 cents, bringing it to 58 cents per share. I will now call upon François Lorrain to review our 2015 financial performance. François?
Thank you, François. I would like to begin by providing some details on the $72.2 million impairment charge shown on slide 15. As François mentioned, we completed the comprehensive strategic review of our retail activities in the fourth quarter and concluded that our current business model no longer generated a sufficient level of profitability. With the carrying value above the recoverable value, an impairment charge was taken, which included $29.2 million related to goodwill, $33.3 million related to software and intangible assets, and $9.9 million related to premises and equipment. Note 10 to our financial statements provide additional details. The impact of this charge was limited to 4 basis points on the CET1 ratio. Furthermore, restructuring charges of $6.2 million reflected the first step of the transformation plan towards a simpler and more efficient operating model. We're now well positioned to move forward with our strategic plan to deliver improved profitability. In addition to the common share issuance, the bank's shareholder dividend reinvestment and share purchase plan reinstates the issuance of shares from Treasury at a discount of 2%, starting with the next common share dividend payment. Having additional capital will allow us to transform and continue to take advantage of opportunities as they arise. With this issue, our pro forma CET1 ratio rises to 8%, a level that we're very comfortable with. Furthermore, the issue represents less than 5% of our common shares outstanding. Turning to slide 16. In 2015, the bank met its profitability and capital objectives. It slightly missed those relating to efficiency ratio and operating leverage objectives, mainly due to regulatory cost pressure, including implementing CRM2. I will now review the drivers of our performance. Total revenue for 2015 increased by 3% to $897.1 million. Net interest income grew by 3%, driven by strong loan growth. As shown on slide 17, the bank has generated strong growth in loans to businesses for the last couple of years, and in 2015 grew by 18%. Contributing to this growth is our leasing portfolio that now stands at almost $300 million. Our recently forged partnerships with BDC, combined with additional account managers at the bank, should generate further growth in our leasing and equipment financing portfolio. As well, momentum in the B2B bank mortgage loan portfolio is strong, up 34% year over year. Net interest margin, shown on slide 18, decreased by 4 basis points to 1.84% in 2015. The adverse impact of lingering low interest rates on loan margins, combined with holding higher liquidity throughout the year to finance the purchase of a $600 million investment loan portfolio in the fourth quarter, contributed to the slightly weaker margins. Notwithstanding these pressures, NIM was stable throughout the year and stood at 1.84% in the fourth quarter. Other income, as presented on slide 19, rose by 3% in 2015 to $322 million. Our focus on helping our clients build their wealth is reaping rewards as mutual fund commissions increased by $9.6 million or by 33% year over year due to new sales and additional fee-based revenues earned on the co-branded LBC Mackenzie Mutual Funds. As well, Income from treasury and financial markets increased by $7.2 million due to higher revenues from trading and foreign exchange. These increases were partly offset by lower insurance income and income from investment accounts. Furthermore, other income in 2014 benefited from a $3.7 million gain on the sale of a commercial mortgage loan portfolio. Credit quality remained solid throughout the year, as shown on slide 20. The provision for loan losses decreased by $7.1 million to $34.9 million in 2015. In the fourth quarter of 2015, the provision of $9.4 million was $1.1 million lower than a year earlier, remaining slightly below historical levels. Gross impaired loans, as presented on slide 21, stood at $138.6 million at the end of 2015. The $37 million year-over-year increase was essentially a result of two commercial mortgage exposures, which we are in good positions to be resolved in the coming months and where we believe we're well provisioned. The loss ratio of 12 basis points in 2015 continues to stand out among the major Canadian banks and remains a strength in Laurentian Bank's business model. Slide 22 highlights non-interest expenses, which on an adjusted basis for 2015 increased by 3% compared to 2014. The increase was largely due to an amount of $4 million related to the transition to a new system in light of the CRM2 regulatory requirements, with the expense being split almost equally between the third and fourth quarter of 2015. Adjusted salaries and employee benefits increased by $2.6 million or 2% due to regular salary increases as well as higher payroll taxes, and were partially offset by lower headcount from restructuring initiatives at the end of 2014. The adjusted efficiency ratio was 71.3% for 2015 and 70.8% for the fourth quarter, continuing the improvement that began last quarter. I will now review the business segments, beginning with the performance of the personal and commercial segment on slide 24. Excluding the impairment and the restructuring charges, adjusted net income was $132.3 million, or 9% higher than in 2014. Contributing to this solid core performance was strong organic growth in the business loan portfolios, with commercial loans increasing by 20% year-over-year and commercial mortgages up by 15%. As well, income was positively impacted by higher revenues from mutual funds and lower loan loss provisions on commercial mortgages and commercial loans. These items were partially offset by higher non-interest expenses, largely related to CRM2 and higher staffing levels in business services. As shown on slide 25, B2B Bank's contribution to adjusted net income was $56.6 million compared to $57.6 million in 2014. However, the full year results masked the tremendous improvement over the year as business development initiatives gained traction. Strong earnings in the second half of the year, and in particular in the fourth quarter, were fueled by strong organic loan growth as well as the purchase of the $600 million investment loan portfolio in early August. The combination of strong revenue growth and tight cost control in the fourth quarter of 2015 resulted in an efficiency ratio of 55.5%. As shown on slide 26, it was a challenging year for the investment banking and brokerage operations in general, Laurentian Bank Securities and Capital Markets contribution to adjusted net income in 2015 increased to $12.1 million from $10.3 million a year earlier. Higher revenues from underwriting fixed income securities and trading were partially offset by lower fees from underwriting small-cap equities, while non-interest expenses reflected higher performance-based compensation, commissions, and transaction fees. The other sector generated an adjusted net loss of $28.7 million in 2015, compared to a net loss of $26.2 million in 2014. This loss is mainly driven by unallocated corporate expenses, including the costs associated with certain regulatory projects, as well as costs related to liquidity reserves. Year over year, the higher loss mainly results from the level of low-yielding liquid assets held through the year to finance the acquisition of the investment loan portfolio and lower net securities gains. Thank you for your attention, and François will now offer the closing remarks.
Thank you, François. In summary, we have met our targets in 2015, and we are resetting them for the future. Yes, we are increasing capital, which can be dilutive to support organic and acquisition growth, but when you consider the transformation plan and immediate benefits from the special impairment and restructuring charges, the sum total has a slight positive impact on ROE. Quite simply, our challenge is to rebuild a solid, relevant, profitable, and sustainable financial institution without compromising current profitability levels. Our transformation plan addresses this challenge so that we can attain our objective to become a simpler, more efficient, and modern organization with a solid foundation. We are really excited about our transformation plan and the future of our company. I would like to tell you more about it. Over the next few weeks, I will be spending time with team members everywhere to inform and engage them. But after that, I would like to provide you with further insight at an investor forum that we will hold in Toronto on Tuesday, January 26th. You will soon receive more information about that event. I will now turn the call back to Susan.
At this point, I would like to turn the call over to the conference call operator for the question and answer session. Angèle?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. And if you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing any keys. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And we'll go ahead with our first question from Meny Grauman of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. First question about capital. I'm just wondering whether the capital raise decision anyway was influenced by OSFI.
François, would you answer that?
No. It's our own opportunity to raise capital, as mentioned by François, to sustain the transformation plan and the growth therein.
And how low would you take CET1 to do an acquisition now that you're on a pro forma basis at 8? What's your comfort level in terms of the capital ratio?
Again, François?
We're very comfortable with that level, and I think it gives us the flexibility to proceed forward with any opportunistic acquisition.
Moving to just some of the restructuring topics that you talked about, I appreciate that you're going to have an investor day soon, but I just wanted maybe a little bit more detail in terms of, you talked about revamping the branch offering in particular, and just wondering if you had a little bit more detail on that. You also talked about functions of branch personnel, and I'm wondering what that means for potential future job cuts and maybe branch closings.
I'll ask Stéphane Terrien to answer that.
Yeah, thanks for the question. First, we will simplify our product offering. We will modernize our retail network, meaning we will change our approach to product and service offering, and as well adopt a truly client-centric approach. We will be looking at ways to remain as efficient as possible, and as the transformation plan progressively is implemented, we will consider all possible options in terms of branch size and number of branches.
In terms of the product offering, is it the idea that you have too many different kinds of products, or what's specifically the crux of that issue?
To answer your question, yes, we feel that we have too many products right now. And obviously this drives higher costs than what we would like to see going forward, both in terms of operation and also we want to simplify the life of our advisor.
Thanks for that.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. And we'll go ahead with our next question from Sumit Malhotra of Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. For Francois Desjardins, we've heard from this bank for quite some time since the rollover to Basel III that given that you were calculating RWA under the standardized approach, you were quite comfortable at a 7.5% level for CET1. Now, those weren't your comments, so I want to ask you directly. Is there something that has changed in terms of how you're thinking about capital for Laurentian that led you to believe it was appropriate to make this decision to raise equity at the beginning of your tenure?
I don't think it's a change in CET1 ratio. It's a change in terms of how I'm viewing the growth of the organization. And to fuel growth, you need the capital to be there. We are looking, as I've mentioned in the plan, at moving eventually to IRB methodology. And as you know, standard methodology punishes banks that are not. We feel that we will continue to respect the ratios and be comfortable with, but it's a growth play. We're looking at doubling the size of the corporation, and we don't want to worry about capital along the way.
And maybe just to put a finer point on the previous question, so you're at 8. I think obviously you're talking about here, and I'm going to get to this next, you want to grow the business portfolio, which traditionally brings with it higher risk-weighted asset growth. So from the 8% pro forma level, it's reasonable to see, as we have with Laurentian, just looking year over year, the capital ratio is down just over 20 basis points. You are expecting from current levels that capital will stay flat, or is it likely that you see the same kind of decrease as the commercial book grows?
I'm guessing, Sumit, you want me to answer that directly?
Please.
I just point you, I think you should see it in another fashion. You know, we bought a TD book in the past year for which we didn't go to market for. These are the types of opportunistic situations which eats up capital along the way. So, organic growth, but also we want to have some leeway to make some opportunistic growth acquisitions. Our comfort level is just increased by having a little bit more capital than what is required of us at this point.
One more, and then I'll leave it there. Your target for growth in the business lending portfolio. So when I look at the numbers year over year, you're up 18%, very strong level for the bank. Your target over the next 4 years is envisioning 60% growth, which is quick math here, roughly 13% a year CAGR. So if I play devil's advocate, you know, GDP growth in Canada has been, at best averaging 2-ish% the last few years. Maybe it gets better, maybe it doesn't. What gives you the confidence that you can grow your business portfolio at such a rapid rate compared to the overall economic trends in the country? And maybe the corollary to that is, what does this mean for your credit quality outlook?
I'll give some thoughts. First of all, loans to businesses will continue to be a growth engine. We have a solid pipeline, strong relationships, and with more account managers and our continued focus on niche markets, we believe that we can generate strong and profitable growth going forward. I'll ask Stéphane to add some color to it.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Yeah, you're right that we're growing at a faster pace than the Canadian economy. That being said, commercial loans is a huge market. And if we go back 2 years ago, 50% of that market was, in terms of market share, was roughly the banks, the Canadian banks. And the other 50 was divided amongst a lot of fincos. So it's a huge market where we feel we're gaining market share right now, both versus fincos, that some of them are struggling right now, and some banks as well. And yes, we feel good about the numbers that we provided in terms of guidance, because so far all the strategy that we put forward in terms of specialization of our sales force, focusing on a couple of niches, and commercial excellence in terms of investing in their training are all paying off so far in the last 2-3 years, and we feel good about the future.
For your credit question, I'll ask Christian Debrou, our head of credit, to give some thoughts.
Well, I would say first and foremost, we will continue to originate and underwrite the deals on a deal-by-deal basis. We will continue with our prudent underwriting approach, and we have the right teams in place to analyze our risk, and we feel very comfortable about our growth in that market space.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Your next question will come from the line of Robert Tijan of CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to follow up on one of Sumit's questions, actually. So the idea of capital accretion as earnings come in, I mean, the interplay between your return on risk weights, your ROE, your dividend payout ratio, and then your organic growth, you know, the larger banks will often say they can accrete capital something in the area of 15 to 20 basis points a quarter. Is there a number that you'd be comfortable suggesting you could do on a standard run rate basis from a CET1 ratio? Should we expect 10 basis points a quarter of accretion, or is flat more the right area considering some of the growth you're expecting?
We feel that the level will be relatively stable going forward of the CET1. So on the one end, it attracts capital, but on the other end, the level of profitability we expect from this new businesses will bump it up to keep us relatively stable over the years.
Okay, fair enough. And just, I should probably know this, but the DRIP, what percentage of your shareholders are currently enrolled in a DRIP? Because I think I heard you say it's going to be coming out of Treasury now rather than purchasing the market. Is that correct?
At the moment, it comes from the market. You're right.
Yeah.
Less than 10% today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
With the DRIP, 28. With the DRIP, 28.
Your next question will come from the line of Sumit Malhotra, Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Sorry. I was hoping there was more in the queue before me. I just had a couple of quick numbers ones. On your AIRB, this is something that I know the bank has been taught, or AIRB progression. I have my own estimate for this, but just wanted to hear it from you. Do you have a forecast as to that you could share with us that if you were under AIRB today, where would your CET1 ratio be by your estimate?
I'm going to take that and take it away from my numbers guy. Just to talk about the strategy behind IRB. We've been talking about implementing IRB for a little while, and we've also been postponing some of the things we're thinking about in terms of investing in core banking, for example. Now we've made the choice to go forward and give ourselves a runway where we have to wait for some clarity on the rules in regards to IRB. That's why the plan is divided into manageable phases. You see that in the presentation. We're talking about a pre-IRB world and a post-IRB world. We think that we can improve pre-IRB our ROE to the levels of 14 and post-IRB combined with growth, of course, to a level comparable to the banking industry. Specifically for IRB, I'd shy away from giving those numbers today just because on any given day and who you talk to in the regulator environment, that seems to vary. But the bottom line is that it would be accretive for us to move given the current hypotheses.
Is 200 basis points a conservative or reasonable estimate for how much better your capital would be, if you're willing to answer that?
I'd prefer to reserve my comments for maybe a little bit down the road. But
okay. Yeah, we'll try that one on January 26th.
All right.
And then one very short term one just for the quarter, and maybe more just for modeling purposes. When I adjust for the items that you flagged, I get a tax rate that's north of 24%. I think in the last few years, Laurentian has been averaging pretty consistently more like 22. Is there just a one-time blip in the numbers this quarter, or is there something more significant or more long-term that's happened in taxes? So maybe, if you're willing, for Francois, the CFO version, the tax rate we should be thinking about for the bank going forward.
Yes, it's more of a blip for certain transactions, but going forward you should expect closer to 22%.
Thanks again, guys.
You're very welcome.
Your next question will come from line about Shubha Khan of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. So, first question is on, the restructurings and impairment charges. In view of the equity that you're issuing and in view of the impairment and restructurings charges that you're incurring in the fourth quarter, and the fact that you're saying that this is, you know, a first step towards, a seven-year transformation, I'm just wondering, how should we be thinking about future restructuring charges or future investments, the quantum of future restructuring charges and investments in growth initiatives? Like, how large could that be, and over what time frame are we talking?
I'll ask Francois to give some color about that.
Okay. Obviously, the write-down is a really one-time event. And restructuring, as we move forward, we may have some restructuring in the organization, and then you could expect some small restructuring costs as non-core expenses going forward, but nothing material.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Yeah, that's fair. And just to clarify your earlier comments on the equity issuance, am I to understand that it entirely represents pre-funding of growth initiatives rather than any initiative to sort of manage to a higher regulatory capital ratio? Is that a fair characterization?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. And the final question I had was on your mortgage book. It looks like you had really strong growth in resi mortgages through B2B Bank, and specifically it looks like Ontario. I'm assuming that's all, or at least primarily, alternative mortgages. You can correct me if I'm wrong there. But I'm wondering how much of that growth that you've seen, and it was particularly strong in the back half of 2015, how much of that growth is due to the targeted ramp-up of your brokered mortgage business in Alt-A versus, let's say, market share gains at the expense of competitors that have been struggling or have curtailed volumes because of fraud. And I'm thinking specifically of home capital in this context. I guess what I'm really trying to get at is how much of the volume growth really represents sustainable market share gains and, sustainable growth going forward.
I'll answer that directly. As you know, I know this business. The growth that we have in the recent quarters are really not a blip. This has been a sustained effort post-integrations to restart our organic growth engines. Our focus on mortgage brokers and our focus on Alt-A mortgages has been working. We do not feel that this is at all related to any of our competitors. It's really a renewed focus in niche targets, niche markets, and a growing relationship with independent brokers. We're seeing that that is paying off. We were moving B2B Bank from a position where it was known as a catch-all, where we would have many types of mortgages to really two precise types, prime, which represents around 60% of what comes in, and Alt-A, which represents about 40% of what comes in. And we're seeing that as being pretty steady.
Okay, so you're not really expecting volumes, mortgage volumes, to moderate through B2B in the near term?
We're seeing continued growth year over year as we projected in our slides.
Gotcha. Thank you. That's all my questions.
Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Meny Grauman of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
I just had a follow-up on operating leverage. Wondering if you could give some outlook on operating leverage in the shorter run, thinking specifically in the context of what you were talking about in terms of overhauling some of your systems, the account management system. What's the outlook there?
We have an objective, you may have seen, we have an objective to improve our efficiency ratio of operating leverage to 68% in the next 4 years. So you should expect that we will move towards that over the next years in increments.
Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Darko Mihelic of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. The first question relates to slide 11 of the supplemental, and I'm just curious if you can help me understand the progression of the collective provision and its continual decline throughout the year, and more importantly, perhaps, how you see that evolving on a go-forward basis. And then my second question is, just to test the sensitivity of your NIM, if you could talk a little bit about what you think would happen if the Bank of Canada were to cut rates again by another 25 basis points, that might be helpful. Those are my two questions. Thank you.
I would ask François to give some color on that.
On the second one?
Yes, please.
Yeah. On the NIM, so your question is if the rate decreases, sorry, we were looking for information. If the rate decreases, if Canada, yes. If Bank of Canada decreases the rate?
And assuming the response from the banks would be similar as it was the last time, maybe just a thought on what would happen to your NIM.
Obviously, in a declining, we would prefer increases, but declining eventually it would have an impact, a negative impact. But lately, and over the last two years. In the last year, we had two reductions from the Bank of Canada, and we managed to held our NIM throughout the year, even if we had two reductions. So, but we obviously, intuitively, it has a negative impact going forward.
Okay, but you're not willing to quantify or think about the sensitivity at this stage?
No.
Okay.
And for the former part of your question, Christian, do you want to give some color?
Yes, the credit quality continues to be very solid all around. All our indicators are positive. I feel very comfortable with our collective provision as it is now, and we will continue to originate our deals in a prudent underwriting fashion. It should stay the course.
Okay, thank you. And if I could just squeeze one more question in.
Sure.
The Basel III leverage ratio. You mentioned your comfort around common equity. Do you have any comfort zone in the Basel III leverage ratio?
At the moment, our ratio is we're very comfortable, and we're comparable to every other bank there is.
What I'm asking is at what level? I mean, if you want to lever up, where would you feel uncomfortable?
At the moment, we know what the minimum is, and we're meeting that minimum
very comfortably
at the moment. So we don't see this as an impediment or a constraint.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions. At this time, I'd like to pass it back over to Ms. Cohen for closing remarks.
Thank you for joining us today. Should you have any further questions, don't hesitate to contact us. Our phone numbers are listed on the presentation. And on behalf of the Laurentian Bank team, we wish you all a very happy holiday season.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your line and have a great day.